This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
/11:22 in St. Louis. It's the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Brian Hoffman, Jim Hewer, Darren Atkins. Here in studio, Frank Cusimano, Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlowe, and a whole cast of others either in or en route to Boston for tomorrow night's Game 7. But we are here in St. Louis, and we are joined now by Dr. Rick Lehman. Doc, how are you today? Dr. Rick, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are doing well. We know that Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, obviously tomorrow night, but the big news coming out of last night, Kevin Durant, nothing's been confirmed yet, but it is believed to be an Achilles injury. I recall a couple weeks ago, back in late April, when he originally did injure his calf muscle, you were pretty adamant in saying that it's more severe than what they're letting on. Their initial prognosis was, hey, we'll check up on him in 2 weeks and see where he is. You were clear in saying that it wasn't going to be 2 weeks. It was going to be longer. I'm wondering, because it seems to be with the Warriors' medical staff, there has been some inconsistencies in what they've said about certain players, whether or not they'll be playing or not. His name now escapes me right now, but most specifically there was a player, Kevon Looney, who they said was going to be out for the rest of the series, but that was after game two, but he came back and played last night. I'm wondering if there was any chance with Kevin Durant when he did get hurt in late April. Was he misdiagnosed, or is this just when you're trying to play through an injury, another part of your body has to step up, and that's what caused possibly a ruptured Achilles?
Well, so you know, it was pretty dramatic last night, and the aftermath was pretty bad, and the whole thing with the GM was pretty rough, watching him up there crying. So I think probably in retrospect, not to say I was right, but I was probably right in that he probably had more severe injury, and I think the Achilles probably was involved, and they were a little bit focused in on his calf, and I think a little less focused in on his Achilles, trying to get his calf better, and then kind of pushing him a little bit to play, and then I think he compensated. But I think your premise is probably right, and that he if you look back, he probably had some Achilles issues that were, I don't want to say overlooked, but probably overlooked a little bit. And then, you know, he comes back and that part that wasn't really appropriately treated became the compensatory or the area that got damaged. And my guess is if he's torn his Achilles, you know, that's a big deal. Then you question, can he come back and play at the level he played at any time?
Dr. Rick, as a doctor and dealing with professional athletes, you know that gray area where you're going, well, you can try and play, but you're risking things. How difficult is that conversation, you think, for a doctor and trying to relay to an athlete who thinks he's invincible that, hey, you might want to just cool it here for a little bit?
Well, you know, you got two or three issues going on, and the doctor, unfortunately, has to be the rock. And that is, you got the GM and the coach want him to play. Steve Kerr wants him to play. Myers wants, everybody wants him to play. And the athlete, every athlete wants to, I wouldn't say every, but most athletes want to play. And you got to be the guy to say, you know what? I mean, I remember, you know, way, way, way back when Grant Fuhr telling me he could play with a torn ACL. And, you know, and the coach is saying, yeah, let him try. And you're like, you guys are crazy. You're not playing, you know.
Right.
If you want to play against medical advice, go ahead. But, you know, you can't play. And so the doctor has to be the guy that steps in and brings sanity to the whole thing. And because you're the one that really knows. And everybody else is just, like you said, they think, hey, I'm invincible. And they're just wishing and hoping that he can play. And everything looked good for 11 minutes. But, you know, I think this was predictable. And I guess my take on this whole thing is I just don't think their medical staff, you know, after inexperience or what their deal is, but the thing with Looney was a similar thing. They got a second opinion, and they were kind of overruled, and now he's got a flak jacket on, and he can play. So, you know, there have been inconsistencies. You know, you haven't heard the end of this, that I'll tell you.
As far as the Achilles, if it is that, what's the process and how does that, you know, what does he have to go through to get that fixed to even think about walking regularly?
Well, so they'll repair it. Generally, we put a graft on it. So we take what's called an alloderm, which is a cadaver skin graft, and we wrap the repair in the skin graft so that the tendon's about 70% stronger than his other tendon. And then we would do some PRP, platelet-rich plasma, inject it in the repair. So he'll be able to walk normally probably in about 6-8 weeks. And then the rehab process starts. Now, the question comes in a guy like KD is, can he get up off the ground? You know, is he going to be able to have the same mobility, defensive slide, the ups, the explosion, to be able to do what he needs to do? So if he's 50% off, you know, he's unemployable in the NBA, and that's going to be the real question. He'll walk fine. He'll be able to run fine. But will he have that first step? And that's, you know, that's the NBA. Everything is one step.
Does it work like a muscle where you have to build it back up and it just shows up? Because, I mean, it's been a lifetime he's built that ability to jump. Or is it just, you know what, you just attach it and as long as it stays connected and he's good to go?
No. So that's a really good question, Jimmy. So if you have to repair it in such a way that it fires appropriately, it can't be too long and it can't be too short. It has to be the exact length. And you can't have any scar tissue in the middle of the repair, because every time he goes to jump or to squat, you know, get in a defensive slide position where his knees are bent and his ankles are bent, he's going to get posterior ankle pain. And he's going to do stuff. You know, if you tear your Achilles or I tear my Achilles, you know, what do I do? I don't do anything that aggressive. So I'm probably not going to have much pain. But, you know, a long jumper, an NFL lineman, which is common, in those guys are going to maximally stress that repair day after day, and that's where it has to hold up.
Doc, I'm very curious, because Durant is facing a very difficult decision now, one that seemed obvious a couple weeks ago. He has a player option with Golden State worth a little over $30 million, but he can also opt out, at which point, all along this season, it was believed that the Knicks were going to jump at him, and they could offer 4 years and right around $164 million. I think that's the max deal that a player like Durant could get from a team that's not the Golden State Warriors. So I'm curious, from your perspective, let's say James Dolan has a moment of clarity and calls you and asks what what should he do? Is this something that Kevin Durant can come back from, let's say, not so much next year, but in time for November of 2020, can he be the Kevin Durant that we've seen him be in the previous couple of years?
So that's a good question, and that's a big problem for Mr. Dolan right now. And that problem is, are you going to pay the guy the max contract, and he's going to come back as just another forward in the NBA, or not come back at all? And there's a real risk there. So I would tell, if I were counseling him right now, I'd say you'd be out of your mind to give him a max contract. Yes, he's going to miss a year. Yes, he's probably going to come back. But is he going to come back at $40 million a year? Is he going to come back at $15 million a year and be just another forward? And that's the risk. And the answer to the question is, you don't know, and B, it's way, in my opinion, it would be way too much money to risk at this point. So, you know, if you ask me, I think the Warriors kind of screwed KD, because right now he's, you know, the Warriors are going to pay him. Are going to pay him in his option year. They won't have an option. They're going to pay him. But whether he's ever going to get a contract like that again in the NBA, that's the question, and I question that. I would say, you know what, if I'm a GM or I'm an owner and I'm making that decision, I'm not paying him that money right now, because there's too many question marks.
I am curious, because it seemed like a foregone conclusion that Durant was going to opt out after the season. But let's just say that second year was guaranteed with Golden State. It wasn't an option. It was a contracted season for Durant and Golden State. Do you think he plays last night?
No.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I don't. I think if he has a contracted year, and you know, I think everyone assumed, I mean, Coach Lynn, everybody was talking like he was going to the Knicks, and I think they're saying to themselves, look, this is our shot. We're not going to have him anyway. If he's hurt in the offseason, he'll get better. You know, it'll get better. But it's not our problem. Not going to be our problem. He opts out. I think everybody agreed to that. Everyone thought that was going to happen. I think if he's got a four-year contract and they know they're going to have him for the next year or two, and, you know, they got the same players and it's an equal chance of winning the championship, I think he doesn't play, because I think the team says, you know what, it's not worth taking a risk for the next 2 years. And this tendon complex is the whole deal. You know, if he has a sore elbow, or he has, you know, a clavicle fracture, all those things are fixable. They're resolvable. This ends your career. You know, look at Kobe. I mean, you just go down the list.
Dr. Rick Lehman joining us here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. He's on the Maryville University listener line. Doc, the other big story coming out recently, David Ortiz in the Dominican Republic was shot. And the reports, as it usually is when it comes out of a foreign country, were, I guess, to a degree, they were slow in coming out. And as a result, it went from maybe he was shot in the leg to now it's come out that he was flown from the Dominican Republic to Boston to undergo a second surgery. Retired baseball player, but in terms of his quality of life moving forward, what's he facing?
So Big Poppy got shot in the back, blew out his gallbladder, blew out his liver, and blew out his colon. There was sepsis when they did the first surgery. And, you know, do you really want to have surgery in the Dominican Republic?
No.
Just like you don't want to drink from the minibar, you probably don't want to do those things if you're in the Dominican. So based on that, I think he had what they had to offer. The Red Sox flew him, air ambulance, to Mass General, had a subsequent surgery. And I think he's probably going to be okay. He's going to have a colostomy. You know, he's going to have a little bag that where he goes to the bathroom, so he empties the bag out. He's going to have some real quality of life issues. He's going to lose weight. He's probably going to have some chronic abdominal pain. But he's going to survive this, you know. Whether he would have survived staying in the Dominican, I really question that. They said they reattached his colon, which I'm an orthopedist sports guy, and I know that that wasn't a good idea. And and so I think that the whole medical care is obviously quite different in Boston than it's going to be in the Dominican. And I think that they're going to probably save his life in Boston. But he's going to have some repercussions that are going to be huge in terms of, you know, your question is, how's his quality of life? And it's going to be greatly diminished from this.
How about just the risk in making that flight? I mean, to me, that was like, wow, if you're taking that risk, I mean, it must be really bad. But just what you got to do to stabilize things for a flight, I can't imagine. That's going to be pretty extensive.
Well, I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, flying them even a half an hour in that condition. So like you said, they must have been pretty concerned, and the family and Big Poppy handlers must have been pretty concerned in terms of, if we don't do this, you know, if it wasn't so bad, keeping him there was going to be fine. You know, if you get a toenail injury, get it treated in the Dominican. But at this situation, there's a lot of risks. And I know of two or three cases personally where pro athletes got on air ambulances, and one of them turned out brain dead by the time they landed. So this is not without risk. And I would tell you, this just tells you the severity of his injury. But, yes, it is a big deal to get on an air ambulance, be 35,000 feet in the air, and have something go wrong, because there's no fixing that.
Sports orthopedic surgeon Dr. Rick Lehman joining us. He sends us a couple of topics each week that he wishes to discuss. They say trends start on the coast and make their way to the middle of the country after a little bit. I hope this one stays on the coast. Doc, there are sober bars popping up now in New York, places where people want to spend money on drinks that don't contain alcohol, which previously was just soda and water. Explain this this new trend. I think we lost Dr. Rick, or he is just stunned by the news. Doc, you there?
I think we lost him.
I think we lost Dr. Rick Lehman. Plowsy, I'll send you his phone number, and you can give him another buzz. That just seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one, but going back to the Ortiz situation, apparently this was much more serious than we originally were given the information on. I mean, just listening to what Dr. Rick has to say about one making the choice to transfer someone, and then the news that he said he blew out his gallbladder and his colon, and the fact that he also had sepsis. I mean, sepsis is, look, I know from having a family member go through it, that could
terrible
end things, and it's rough.
Hey, Dr. Rick is back. Dr. Rick, talk to us about these sober bars popping up in New York, and come for me and tell me that this is not coming to St. Louis.
So, it's a startling thing. I mean, they have, so now everybody's trying to go sober, so they have these bars, these non-alcoholic bars, And so you're going to go and you're going to do everything the same, except you're not going to – the stuff you're drinking is not going to have any alcohol in it. And this is sort of along this wellness health trend, which to me it seems very odd in their culture, you know, in a West Coast culture where, you know, everybody wants to smoke weed and do, you know, like Colorado, they want to make all these hallucinogenic drugs. AOC wants all these drugs to be legal, but now everybody's going to not drink alcohol. So it seems a little confusing to me, but the trend against getting away from alcohol, going to bars that don't serve alcohol and are very, very healthy conscious. My point would be, if you want to be healthy conscious, instead of going to a bar, no alcohol, just go to the gym and you'd probably be a lot healthier. But it seems to me to be a very odd trend.
Isn't this just a coffee shop? If we're just going to talk about a place you go to not drink alcohol, that just seems to be a cafe.
I couldn't agree more, and a lot cheaper.
It seems like it already exists, right? Yeah. I don't see this. I just don't see the appeal.
It.
As a drinker, I say I do not understand this appeal at all. Final topic, because this is something that my wife and I are very guilty of, which is falling asleep. We don't have a TV in our bedroom, but we do often fall asleep on the couch while watching some sort of late night programming. Apparently that's bad for you.
So first of all, I think everybody, maybe not everybody, but myself and a lot of people are culprits in this situation where, you know, you've got the TV on, you fall asleep and you just sleep. And it is bad for you. It leads to obesity. There's a lot of reasons not to do that. And what I would tell the listeners out there is, look, put a timer on the TV. When the timer goes off, get up and go to bed, and don't just and if it's your TV that's on, you know, put a timer on it and just put the thing to rest. And you don't want to sleep in front of the TV while the TV's on all night. And there are some medical consequences, but it is a very common habit, and it's something that's easily fixable, and we should all try to get away from that.
This is going to be a very dumb follow-up, but I have to ask, because I'm also guilty of this. When it says on the headline, sleeping with a screen on can lead to health issues, does that also count, say, cell phones and tablets?
Absolutely.
Ah.
Yes, sir.
Ah,
yes, sir.
Guilty of that, too.
I think we're all guilty of that, right? I mean, you know, you got your phone, you pick your phone up at 3 in the morning, and for some reason start scrolling. So, you know, turn your phones off, turn your TV off, no more blue radiation, and just try to get some good sleep.
Doc, I'm curious, this is completely off topic as to what we have discussed, and it might just be a dead end, but did you watch the Chernobyl miniseries on HBO?
I have been watching it.
Okay.
It's frightening.
Isn't it? Yes, especially the radiation effect scenes, and that just was jarring.
Well, and I think we don't really get the real story because we don't. But I think the real answer to this is it's a lot more frightening than they're making it. They're making it very frightening. And I think Japan and some of these countries that have experienced these levels of radiation, it takes generations to resolve it. And I was in Vietnam, and fourth generation people that had Agent Orange, they still have, you know, all these people with these birth defects, and it's just devastating. So I think as bad as Chernobyl is, it's probably really worse if you're there.
Oof, that's not good. Dr. Rick, thank you for joining us this week. Hopefully we'll have some more cheerful topics next week. We tackled possibly a career-ending injury or at least a career-altering injury. David Ortiz getting shot in the Dominican Republic, Chernobyl, and sober bars and why you shouldn't be watching screens while trying to sleep. So this was a very good, cheerful segment.
Yeah, let's try it. Well, we'll have a follow-up on KD before it's over, and then hopefully that's a little bit more cheerful as well.
Doc, thanks for joining us this week, sir.
You guys take care.
All right.
That's Dr. Rick Lehman. We're going to take a short time out. We'll wrap up the press box on the other side. I'll come up with a little five for the guys during the break, and then we'll segue cleanly, smoothly into the midday grind, at which point Kenny will also join us at 12:30. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.